you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, and then we'll be going to 2 Timothy chapter 3, two places tonight, if you would, please. Ephesians 6, 2 Timothy 3. And we'll be touching on James, too, as the evening goes on, James 1. So those are the three areas I'll look at, and if you'll join me there, that would be great. I'll never win a sword draw. I'm breaking in this Bible. The only time I'm using it is when I preach, which is a bad thing to do because I should be using it and breaking it in other times. But anyway, pages are sticking. I use my other Bible for my devotions, just so that you're not there. Okay. So anyway, let me ask God to bless us, and then we'll get into this. Father, as we open your word, encourage us with it. This is so practical, and we need to regroup around practicality again and again. So it won't be anything new, perhaps, just organizing it, presenting it, and encouraging one another with it. We might stand clean before you as we pray tonight and as you bless our time together. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. There are certain things that surely we know that are going to happen in our Christian walk. One of the most troubling fact of temptation. Anybody here doesn't get tempted? I'll tell you, you can't open your eyes in our culture without getting tempted, either to anger or to thoughts that perhaps shouldn't be there. There are just so many things going on in our culture today that drive us to places that are very easy to depart from Christian love and graciousness, if you know what I mean, like driving your car or whatever. Anyway, temptation is a big deal. And if you're like I am, you perhaps find yourself saying, there I go again. I really wanted to master this. It got the best of me again. I get ticked off when that person cut in front of me. You know, I'm driving and giving reasonable safe spacing, and sure enough, three cars get in front of me and probably are upset with me because of the way I'm driving. It's insane. And yet, God's put us here, and God wants us to live here, and God wants us to deal with temptations. Automobiles are just a real good area for me to talk about temptation because I'm so weak in that area. I really am. But anyway, perhaps you have other things that are troubling you or continue to plague you with the issues of temptation. James is one that tells us to be joyful in the face of trials or temptations, if you will. The word, by context, drives whether it's to the good, a trial, or to the bad, temptation, with the ends of falling. So the theory... The theory and the theology are good. The flesh and the failure that at times accompanies it is frustrating and hurtful. The theory, overcome it. The theology, here's how. But the reality is the flesh and the failure that at times accompany this, it's frustrating and hurtful to the Christian growth. I don't know if you find that or not. You're reading, you're close to God, you're having a great day in the Lord, and then all of a sudden the weakness, the kink in the armor, if you will, shows up, and it's just one of those things that just irks you or presses your button or whatever, you know, rings your bell, you name the term, you do the cliche, but all of a sudden when you are walking close now, you're perhaps not as close as you would want. So how often does the believer pray for victory end up in a fleshy failure? So how do we get the victory? What tools are available for the believer to succeed? I think these are realistic questions, and they're easy to say, and it takes discipline to do, but victories can happen. They could. If I went through here tonight and just said, what victories did you have since you became a Christian? I would guess that every one of you could name something, right? I mean, I can't even imagine you not being able to name something. Well, here's the logic. If we can have victory over that something, then isn't there hope that we can have victory over the other things that perhaps are troubling us day to day to day? That's the logic behind it. So, we're in Ephesians 6. I wanted to start in verse 17 because I want to show you, if you will, some of the equipment that God has put to our use and service in overcoming these issues of temptation. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, the context is the wiles of the devil. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood. Our adversary, the devil, walks around seeking whom he may devour. This is a fight against the devil himself, putting on the whole armor of God. I want to talk about that in just a few moments, but that's a key verse because it talks about the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're looping back to the source, the primary source of victory. But then if we take this Pauline encouragement of Ephesians and put it next to the Pauline encouragement of 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, we talk about the Word of God once again, where it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's completely equipped for all good works. How? By the Word of God. Do you see the common denominator? Well, as we fight the devil and as we are equipping ourselves for maturity, it's the Word of God that becomes the constant. And I think that it's very, very important that we use the Word of God as we face off with temptation. So one looks at the temptations that come from the demonic forces around us. Paul gives us some specific instruction from the Word of God. So I look at it this way. We're going to be tempted from the devil or the demons. We're going to be tempted from the world because the world is run by him. They answer to him. They love him because he gives them what they want. Forget the consequences. Or the flesh itself, our old nature that's there and heaping up, constantly savoring these temptations. So, as we look at this, these temptations, we can get some specific instructions. Let's look at these for a few moments. The Word is the sword. The sword of the Spirit. The sword that's used by the Spirit. Now, don't miss this. If we don't have the Word in us, the Spirit is lacking a tool to benefit us. It's so easy to say, oh, I'm having trouble with this sin, having trouble with that. And the pastoral thing is we'll read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, 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 right? I mean, isn't that what we say? It's so easy, isn't it? But the truth is, read your Bible, pray every day, and start finding truths that are going to help you overcome temptation. And they can, just like they did before. They can today. Even as the Word is the source of faith, even as the Word leads to salvation, it's that same Word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We're talking about salvation, for by grace are you saved through faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It connects, folks. The victory comes by faith in the Word, taking God at his word. When we fail, and this is what we don't want to go here, but it's the truth. When we fail, it's because our faith is little in a great God that can give us victory. Our faith is little. And too often that's because we aren't close to him in his word. And the further and further and further we get from him by not being in the word, the easier it is to behave like one estranged from him. We've been going through Isaiah in our devotions, Joe and I, and I am absolutely amazed. Read Isaiah 55, 56, 57 in there, where God pleads with Israel and says, you know what, I'm just away with you. You say you love me, you don't. You act like you do in front of people, and inwardly you don't. And he goes again and again and again at Israel. He says, you have these gods you make with your hands. Well, call on them when you're in trouble. Folks, we're not far from that. We put so many things ahead of God. And even our church family puts so many things ahead of God. Instead of being at a place where our families can be nurtured in truth and in character and in the Word, we'll go any place else for enjoyment, for pleasure, or for who knows what reason. Staying at home to watch a football game. And I'll let that alone. I'll stop right there. We have the Word as the source of our faith. The Word leads to salvation. This faith salvation shields the mind, if you will, the root or target of temptation. James says this in James 1:13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Now here we go again. Temptations are going to come. James says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, doesn't he? Knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. Well, he says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God can't be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lusts and enticed. Why does that happen? Might I say that we have chosen to go with our lusts rather than going with our faith in the Word? It is really that simple. Oh, Pastor, there's got to be more complex than that, because I fall and I fail and I'm tempted and these temptations sometimes snare me. There's got to be something deeper rooted than that. Sorry. It's not deep theology. It's really simple. Only two choices on the shelf. You've heard it? Pleasing God or pleasing yourself. It's really who you love. And that really becomes the issue of temptations. Victory over them, falling in them. Who do you love? What's keeping you from doing what's right? Who do you love? Well, when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. James 1:13 through 15. So not only do we see this idea of the Word is the sword used by the Spirit, but the Word itself is used for stability. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Again, it's a very common passage, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be perfect, mature, thoroughly furnished. In other words, complete, has everything they need unto all good works. Let me unpack that for you just for a few moments. The Word of God has stability. If we're in the book, if we read it by faith with a determined heart to do it, to put it into our lives, to grow with it. I can't help but wonder on a Sunday morning, any given Sunday morning, how many people are sitting here on their iPhones, their iPads, or whatever, doing anything but listening to the service. I can't help but wonder. I just can't help but wonder. And I understand that a lot of you using electronics for your Bible. Praise the Lord, stay doing it. I mean, I'm okay with that, unless there's the pregame, and then shame on you for watching it, or unless there's some goofball thing on there that you want to watch. It's more important than the Word. Then shame on you. Shame on you. Stability, because the Word of God is inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's inspired. God breathed it. It's exactly as it's supposed to be. Can I tell you something that's troubling to me right here? If we are to gain stability because the Word of God is inspired, now here's my question, and I think it's a fair one. Then what part of the Word of God isn't important? Now think about that. What part of the Word of Almighty God isn't important? Now perhaps some are more relevant to us than others. Obviously, I'm a dispensationalist, so I'm not back in the ceremonial law worrying about bringing my lamb to the sacrifice, okay? But there's importance in that, because as they sacrifice the lamb, Our Heavenly Father sacrificed the Son. Behold the Lamb of God. We were reading, and I'm toying with how I'm going to use this, but you remember when the ark was brought back to Israel from the Philistines, and they put it in a cart? Remember what happened? The cart hit this pothole. They had potholes then, I guess, too. And you remember what happened? There was a very good intentions were exercised with very costly results. Remember what happened? Uzzah reached back and stayed the ark from falling. What happened to him? God struck him dead. I wonder how important the doctrine of rings and staves are. Ask Uzzah. Ask him. If he would have listened to God, he would have been alive. The little things, folks. We're giving up the little things. And once we start giving up the little things, we wonder why the bigger things come at us and we're failing. Can I tell you something? We need to be, and I mean this very carefully, but we need to be fanatics in the Word of God. Not fanatics as in crazies, but we ought to grip it, and we ought to care for it, and we ought to crave it. It's God's Word. It's God's Word. The one that can speak and create a universe. It's God's Word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, what does it do for us? Well, doctrine. It's profitable for doctrine. In other words, it tells us what's right. It's profitable for reproof. In other words, it tells us what's not right. It's profitable for correction. In other words, it tells us how to get right. And it's profitable for instruction. It tells us how to stay right. I wish I would have thought those things up. I stole them. They've been around for a long time, but they're true nonetheless. What's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. That's the Word of God. And as we understand the integral part of the Word of God in overcoming temptation, as we value it and bring it in close to us and hold it close, you know what? Then it's not a little thing for us to cheapen our service to the Lord, whatever that might mean. It's not a little thing to rob from God. It's not a little thing to not lay our requests at the feet of the Lord. The Word is the sword used by the Spirit. The Word is used for stability, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction. The third part of this is the product of such use is to become completely equipped. Now I have three areas I want to show you this really quick. By observation, to become completely equipped. Job 1, 11 through 12. But put forth thy hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power, only upon himself put not forth thine hand. You say, Pastor, where are you going with that? Can I tell you something about temptation? God restricts how much we can be tempted. It's where he gets this whole idea of trial or temptation, depending on how we react and respond to it. In other words, the devil could nail Job, and he did, but there were restrictions as to how far he could go, and God set those in place. That's illustration. Let me show you this. Precept. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. Here we are with this temptation again. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. That's precept. God says and declares that when temptation comes our way, we can handle it. You can, I can. We have no excuse except the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they aren't excuses. They're failures. But let me take you to definition. by observation, by precept, and by definition. Back in James chapter 1, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. Verse 12, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempts he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Do you understand that when we're tempted, when temptation comes, and it does to all of us, it can be used to grow us, or if we choose, it will snare us. When it comes, we can draw upon the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And the Spirit can use the Word, if we are in the Word, and equip that incident, that circumstance, properly for victory, giving Him the tools and giving us the tools that we need. We have stability in our salvation. We have stability in the Word of God because it's inspired. We have stability in doctrine because it tells us what's right, reproof, what's not right, correction, how to get right, instruction, how to stay right. And the product of this use is to become completely equipped so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, completely equipped unto all good works. God allows temptation to come. Excuse me, and when I sneeze once, I usually sneeze twice. God allows temptation to come. With the temptation, He provides a way for us to go through it for victory, to glorify Him, to grow ourselves, and to show ourselves that with God, with the Spirit, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Father, bless us, please. Bless us tonight. Time of prayer as we travel to our destinations. Give us safety. Bless the kids in the back as they learn line upon line and precept upon precept. To that end, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.